Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be here this morning. And I pray that You truly would be exalted this morning in each of our lives. Lord, I pray that right now we take every thought captive, that where our mind may wander and drift, Lord, that we would be intent and focused on hearing from You this morning. May Thy will truly be done in this service. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, it's good to have most everybody back. It's been sick and gone, and whatever reason you hadn't been here, I'm glad you're with us this morning. And looks like everybody's finally getting healthy, and that's a blessing. This morning, we're mainly going to be in Acts chapter 27, if you want to open there. The title of the message this morning is Don't Abandon Ship. So you might realize where we're going to be at in Acts 27, what we're going to be talking about. But I've been thinking about trials and tribulations and different things that so many of us go through. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. The title of the message, Don't Abandon Ship. So what I'm going to try and tell you this morning is to persevere no matter what you're going through in your life. Acts 27 verse 9, it says, Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives." But the centurion instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. You know, sometimes we need to listen to godly people. Amen. Sometimes we need to listen to people in our life that we know are prayed up, the men and women of God that we know have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And you know, sometimes we don't like to take advice very well, do we? Sometimes we think we know best. But it's a good thing to listen to men and women of God. Paul was trying to warn him that their voyage was going to be disastrous, but the centurion, he didn't listen to Paul. Verse 12, "Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northeast." So they were going with the majority. I've preached about that before. We've talked about that before. Going with the crowd isn't always the best thing, is it? Going with the crowd and what everybody else wants to do, a lot of times will get you in trouble. Let's read on in verse 13. It says, "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of small islands called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure." What was happening? They was reaching a terrible wind and ocean and everything. Have you guys ever been on a lake or on the ocean in a sea like that? Is anybody? Adam? Tom? Yeah, I hadn't. I've been on a lake before where you got some winds and everything. And you know, but I've never been in that situation. And I don't think I'd ever want to be. And I hope I never am. But here they were facing all this, being driven along. Verse 16, "As we passed the lee of small islands called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbar of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven." So they were just going along with the winds, with the waves, taken a beating. They're passing ropes underneath to secure the boat, to hold it together. Verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tack overboard with their own hands. When neither the sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. You think about that. They're throwing the tackle overboard. So the tackle is what they were using to catch food, to catch fish for their lifeline. And they're in such dire straits that they're throwing everything overboard. And they said that they gave up all hope of being saved. Can I tell y'all something? That I believe there's people in here this morning, and there's people that we encounter every day at work and maybe in our homes that have given up all hope. You know, we put on a good face and we smile, and but on the inside we're broken. And on the inside there's something that's just crying out, and we won't let anybody see it, but on the inside we've given up all hope. And y'all, that's the place that these people were in. In Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3, it says, "In the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death.'" It's funny, that was mentioned in Sunday school. And y'all, they were at the point where they were giving up all hope, and they were looking back at what life used to offer when they were enslaved in Egypt. And I think that sometimes what Satan is trying to do with our lives, where we've given up all hope in following God, is that Satan's dangling something before us of remember how things used to be, or see how things could have been if we wouldn't have come on this boat, on this ship, on this walk with God. Joshua 1:9 says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Church, that's true for us today. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I don't want you to raise your hand this morning, but is there any in here this morning that's discouraged? Maybe you're not happy with where life's taken you. Maybe you're not happy with your job. Maybe you're not happy in different circumstances, in different situations, and you fill in the blank. But God is saying to us this morning, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do we understand that God is with us? That God's not going to forsake us? That God's not going to leave us? Back in Acts 27, verse 21. "After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, you should have taken my advice and not sailed to Crete from Crete.'" You know, that's kind of a told you so, right? You ever have them moments in your life when people around you, and you've tried to warn them, you've tried to tell them, don't go in that business, don't buy that, don't do this, don't... This is bad to say, but I even know people in my life that, you know, they shouldn't have married that person, and everybody knew it, but they did it anyway. And you know, there's that moment of told you so. And this is Paul's moment of told you so. "Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Here he is, and he's saying, cheer up, don't worry, God's going to be with you. Y'all, we need to hear that today. Don't get discouraged. God is with us. And what we read in Joshua 1:9, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And what I think about when I read these verses, and I think about Jesus with His disciples, and how many times He said, oh, you of little faith, how long will I put up with you? And I wonder how many of us this morning that's discouraged, that's ready to abandon ship, that's looking at the storms of our life and looking at the damage that's being done all around us, and we're ready to throw in the towel and we're ready to give up. And I believe Jesus is looking down saying, oh, you of little faith. You of little faith. I told you I'll never leave you or forsake you. Why are you looking at the storms of this life? Why are you looking at the problems? Paul's saying that God is going to protect them. And I believe this morning that God's going to protect each and every one of us. Read on in verse 27. It says, on the 14th night we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found that it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboats down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the rope that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. You see what he said there? That unless they stay with the ship, they won't be saved. Y'all, how many times are we urged to abandon the ship and to give up hope? And Satan wants us to think that abandoning the ship is the best way, to take another course of action, to go a different route. And when I'm thinking about this, and I think about how Satan will put things and cause us to give up our hopes and dreams and to go the way of the world to accomplish what we want. And what I'm really trying to say here is how many times we're in the storms of life and we feel like we want to abandon ship. And what I mean is we look at other people's lives and that they're not living for God. And they're successful in their business. They're not living for God, and it seems like they have the perfect family. They're not living for God, and it seems like every whim that they want to do gets answered. Do you understand what I'm saying today? That we look around sometimes and we say, God, I'm living for you, and it feels like my life's a mess. It feels like I've given you my all, God, and the storms of this life just keep battering me and they keep hitting me. And God, I know so and so, and they went out to the club and they went out partying and they're having fun and they're doing this, and this one guy, I know he's corrupt in his business, but God, he's making all this money and he has all this extra. And God, I'm scraping by on crumbs. And God, why? Is that making sense this morning? The temptation to look at what Satan's offering us in abandoning ship, living for God, and following the way of the world. Because the way of the world sometimes seems easier. The way of the world sometimes seems like you'll be blessed. The way of the world sometimes says that you'll have more joy and more happiness, because that's what Satan wants to do. Y'all, it's tempting. I believe that all of us have been tempted at some times in our life with that. Psalm 73:3 says, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You hear what that says? For I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Sometimes we look around and we get envious of what people are doing in a worldly sense, don't we? We get envious of what people have, and here we're trying to hold our lives together and not abandon ship, and here we're trying to do things the right way, and it seems like every time we turn around, our friends, our family are being successful in whatever they do, and we're struggling, and it tempts us to not live according to the Word of God. Psalms 37:1 says, "Do not fret because of evil, or be envious of those who do wrong." Is this talking to y'all at all this morning? Or be envious of those who do wrong? Because sometimes are we not envious of the life that they have, and it seems like their pleasures and life's just wonderful? And you know, last Sunday, I was coming to church, and down here at CV's, I don't know if anybody else seen it, there was like 5, 6, 7 trucks there. These fancy, nice trucks with trailers, all with these new side-by-side, you know, you guys know what a side-by-side is, like a miniature dune buggy, I guess, if you don't know. All look brand new and nice, and they're all heading out to go riding last Sunday morning. And I was just looking at that, and I was just thinking, you know, that used to be me. And, of course, mine wasn't a side-by-side back then. It was either four-wheelers or jet skis. And we'd take off to the lake and spend the whole weekend at the lake on our jet skis. And that used to be my life. And I'm so glad that's not my life anymore. But y'all, the temptation is still there. Because I still enjoy going riding. I miss not having my jet skis. I mean, that we had a lot of fun doing all that, but that's, my life has changed. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd much rather be here preaching or listening to a preacher than I would on any four-wheeler trail or any lake. But y'all, sometimes, I'm just being honest. Can I be honest this morning? Sometimes the allure of that, it seems pretty good. Man, it would be pretty good to go and do and hang out and not have the responsibility. Because that's what Satan does to us, is he puts that allure out there that, man, this could be great, this could be wonderful. And what are you doing with your life? You're broke and you're not making any money, or your family's a mess, or people don't like you. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. You say, Pete, but I know guys that I'm 40 years old, I'm 50 years old, I'm 60 years old, or whatever, and I know people that have lived wrong for all these years, and they're still successful. Enough time just hasn't passed yet, but they will soon die and wither away. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And so, see, I wonder how many of us, Lord, help me say this the right way. How many of us, our delight comes from things instead of the Lord, and then we don't have the desires of our heart, and we read these verses and we say, but God, I delight in You, but I don't have all these things that my heart desires. Well, are you really delighting in God, or are you delighting in the things? Does that make sense? See, sometimes we don't understand why we don't have the desires of our heart, but the desires of our heart is our delight instead of God. So delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Oh, how hard is it to wait? Huh. Man, when you're in a storm, and these guys was in a storm for days they're in a storm, and they're ready to abandon ship, right? Because we're going down. And sometimes in life it feels like you're going down with the ship, and to just wait patiently for Him. Satan will say, do this and do this. We read a few weeks ago when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And what's the first thing that Satan did to Him? Oh, surely you must be hungry, right? Here's this rock. Turn it into bread. He knew where to hit Jesus, and He knows where to hit us, where to tempt us, so that we're not willing to wait patiently. It says, "Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil." There it is again, about worrying, and we shouldn't be fretting and worrying about our lives and what's going on at this moment. But we should be trusting in God. And don't get angry about it, because it only leads to evil. Verse 9, "For evil men will be cut off, but those whose hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for He knows their day is coming." I'm not going to read the rest of this book or this chapter, but I encourage you maybe to go home and read it. But due to time, I'm going to stop right there. But I wanted to get to that point, because it says, "The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them." And the reason why I wanted to get to that point is because sometimes in the storms of life, is it not that the people around you, your coworkers, and the people that's supposed to be your friends, and it says gnash their teeth at you, are they not the ones that maybe are stabbing you in the back and talking bad about you and trying to do whatever they can to cause you to stumble, to cause you to fall? And sometimes you can feel really alone. And sometimes you can feel really isolated, because you're not like everybody else. And you know what? When we feel alone and we feel isolated because we're not like everybody else, what's Satan doing? He's saying, abandon ship. Just join them. It'll be fun. Just hang out with those people. Just go to that party. Just do that. It'll be fun. It'll be great. Satan wants to make us feel alone. He wants to make us feel isolated. And the people around us, the wicked, are gnashing their teeth at us and trying to destroy us. We can't look around at what seems like success and peace and want that. We must not abandon ship. We can't look at other people's lives and what they're doing in the world and abandon ship. Just like Eve in Genesis 3, did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? What did He do? He put just a little bit of doubt in there. Did God really say that you must not eat of any tree in the garden? And see, that's what Satan wants to do with us. Did God really say not to cheat on your taxes? You know, if you just do this, nobody will really know, and you're going to get back more money. Did God really say you can't go to that party? Did God really say don't go to that website? I don't see website anywhere in the Bible. Did God really say not to do that? I don't know. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? See, Satan dangles in front of us. And here we're trying to live righteous, and we're trying to live strong, and we're trying to hold on with everything we got. And Satan's saying, but, you know, if you just go out with the guys, if you just go out with the girls, did God really say, you know, you're going to have so much fun and so much pleasure, and those people are your friends. They're not really gnashing their teeth at you. They're not really talking bad about you behind your back. We compromise, and we compromise, and we give in, and we think our victory and our peace could come from what the world has to offer, and we're ready to abandon ship with the ways of God. We're ready to abandon ship and go out and do what we know is not right. And these people here, Paul says that if you abandon ship, it's going to cost you your life. And y'all, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you abandon ship, it will cost you your life. Look what happens, though, in verse 33. It says, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And when I read this, and what I think about is when Satan was attacking Jesus with the bread, and what did Jesus say? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the Father's mouth, right? And so what I'm thinking about here is, if you're in a storm, if you're in a trial, when was the last time you ate of God's word? You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of something and you're all stressed out and you're all worried and that's consuming your mind and you're so worried and that you don't even take the time to open up the Word and see what God has to say about it. To eat. They've been in suspense and had gone without food. And we know when we're in suspense and go without food that we're weak. In the physical sense, with that type of food, but in the spiritual sense, even more, when we go without the food, the Word of God, we're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. So let me encourage you this morning that if you've been in that state of feeling lost, of feeling isolated, of feeling alone, of having the temptation to abandon ship, the best thing you can do is begin to read God's Word. And I mean right away. Right away. Don't say, well, I heard Pete's sermon this morning. That's enough for today. I'll start fresh tomorrow. No, if you're ready to abandon ship, you need to dive into the Word right now. I told y'all, I don't know how many weeks ago, to Google a verses about peace, verses about joy. Man, they pop up all kinds of verses. Grab a hold of them and get that nourishment in your body. Where you're feeling weak, where you're, you know what I did? And I think I still got it, and I hadn't used it in a while, but I was struggling. I don't know, this was probably 5 years ago. I was struggling with some stuff in my life. And what I did is I looked up like four verses on that, and I put it in the notes on my phone. And when I started to struggle in those areas of temptation, I went to my notes in my phone, and I read those verses to myself. I tried to memorize them, but I'm not very good at memorizing anything. But I had them there equipped and ready. Why? Because I needed that food to strengthen me for that moment. I hope you guys are getting this morning, because sometimes we just got to stop and we got to eat. Verse 35, after he had said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food for themselves. Altogether, there was 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they had decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudder. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. Can I tell you something? Sometimes, even when God's in control, the ship can fall apart. Okay? And the ship's falling apart here. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to get to land. The rest were to get there on a plank or on a piece of the ship. In this way, everyone reached the land safely. Everyone reached it. You know, when I say that about sometimes the ship can still fall apart, they didn't heed the warning to begin with, right? Paul had warned them to begin with. This is going to be disastrous. And sometimes maybe right now you're at a moment in your life where things are falling apart. And maybe right now something's coming to mind of, I remember what my dad said. I remember what my mom said. I remember what Pete said. I remember what so-and-so said. But I didn't listen. And I'm in the storm right now and my ship's falling apart. But can I tell you something? You grab hold of Jesus Christ with everything that you are and everything that you have and watch and see if He'll not see that you safely get through it. Does that make sense? Romans 5, 3 and 5. We're about to finish up. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. And we studied this in Sunday school a few weeks ago, and it so stuck with me, and these verses so stick with me that rejoicing in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Church, right now, if you're in the storm of life, don't give up. Don't give up. What it's producing in you, God can use the storms of our life to transform us, and that we know how strong we are. We can persevere through these times of trouble, through these times that we feel like everything around us is caving in. Don't give up. Don't abandon ship. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now is the time that you come to God. You come to God. You don't abandon ship just because everything in life seems like it's a mess. That's the time that you come to God. And He says, "I will give you rest." And Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." If we do not give up! Y'all, Satan tempts us to give up. Satan tempts us to take the easy way. But I'm not here selling you a bill of goods that when you live for Jesus, life is all butterflies and roses and chocolate candy. Any of you that's lived for the Lord for very many years, you know that's not the truth. But He says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Don't give up on doing what you know is right. Don't give up on living for the Lord. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Some of you may have had a prayer on your heart for months, for years, for 30 years. Don't be one of the people that the Lord's looking down and going, "Oh, ye have little faith." I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself too, because sometimes I give up. Sometimes my faith is weak. But y'all, God is here. God is for us, not against us. Let's stand. Father, I pray this morning that just in Joshua 1:9, that we would be strong and courageous, that we would not be afraid, that we would not give up, Lord, that we would know that You are with us. Father, I pray that right now, that any area of our life that we've been tempted in, that we've been close to throwing in the towel, Lord, close to taking the easy route, close to taking the worldly route, that right now that would be brought to our attention, that it would be brought to our mind, and that we would hear the warning alarm being sounded in our spirit, Lord, and that we would stop and that we would refocus and that we would begin to eat of the Word once again. That we would begin to seek out the Scripture and be hungry for You once again, Father, and that we would not try to take the easy way out, that we would not abandon ship, and that we would know that there's life here. There's life living for You, Lord. And that we wouldn't be envious of those that are wicked and those that are doing wrong and it seems like they're succeeding, because just as Your Word says, Lord, that their time is short. And just like the grass withers and fades, Lord, that their success is going to wither and fade shortly. But Father, that we know that we have eternity with You. If we don't give up, if we don't grow weary in doing good, Father, that You would strengthen us this morning. That You would strengthen our faith, Lord. That You would forgive us when our faith is weak. That You'd forgive us when our faith is wavering. But Father, that we may put our trust and hope only in You this morning. Lord, may no one in this room abandon ship. May we all look unto You for our strength, for our food, for our source. Father, have Thy way now in every heart and every mind here. In Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, if you're feeling discouraged, if there's a situation, a circumstance in your life that you just can't seem to get victory over, if there's something that you're worried about that's consuming you, if you need prayer for anything, please come to these altars and spend some time with the Lord. And I'll leave you alone if you want to be left alone. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. But I don't want you to leave this room feeling discouragement. I don't want you to leave this room with a lack of peace. I want you to just cry out to Jesus in these moments right now.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the
So I'm going to ask you to do something just a little bit different here, okay? I don't want anybody running out the back door. I want you to shake some people's hands before you leave, okay? But I want you to set in your mind the first three people that you shake hands with, you're going to pray for that person or those three people this week, okay? I'm not saying that whoever you shake hands with, you got to tell them every problem. If you want to tell them something, that's fine. But we need to be praying for each other, and we need to be encouraging one another. And maybe it's just a way that the first three people you shake hands with, I want you to do your best this week when they come to mind to lift them up in prayer in some way. Okay? And let's not let anyone leave feeling unloved, unwanted, isolated, and alone. We need each other. I need y'all. I need your prayers. So, shake first three you're praying for, and then you can shake more hands than that. But please do that for me this morning.